We've got a paternity question for you, and I've invited Scott Trout back into the studio. Scott is the managing partner of Cordell & Cordell, which has offices here in St. Louis and at least a half a dozen other cities across America, and they specialize in representing men in divorce disputes and custody disputes, and we've had him on the show before, so I'm happy to have him back in the studio. Welcome back, Scott.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Also joining us on the phone is Carnell Smith, who is the founder of U.S. Citizens Against Paternity Fraud. And I've invited him in here to give us a little bit more of a national perspective on it, and also because he's worked with this group in Colorado that is trying to get the law changed there. The law in Colorado right now requires men to continue paying child support for children over the age of five, even if it turns out that the mom lied and he's not the dad. If there's proof that he's not the biological father, should he still have to pay child support? Carnell, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Paul. I'm glad to be on to speak as an international spokesperson for the victims.
Well, talk a little bit to me about this situation that you're fighting in Colorado.
Okay. As you just mentioned, that Colorado does have a statute of limitations. It is 5 years old for the children. However, this information is not widely disseminated to the men, because we as men, we become victims of the lack of knowledge about these unpublished time limits until we find out later that the child might not be ours. And the number one way that these men find out that there's something amiss is usually when a child's mother says in a fit of anger, "Little Junior's is not yours anyway, but you better keep the check coming."
Mm. And this always comes up after the couple has split, right?
Yes. Well, think of it this way. Think of it as a don't ask, don't tell policy. The father, the alleged father who happens to be the husband or boyfriend, he's not going to ask to take a paternity test unless he has a reason to check. Now, if you told him there was three other guys that could be the child's father, he now has a reason to check.
Mm. Scott, what are the laws in Missouri and Illinois when it comes to this sort of thing?
Well, you have a right to request for paternity testing, and that's one of the things we tell our clients all the time. And I've been on here before. We talk about knowledge and information, and having the information is key, and knowing your rights and what you can and can't request.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely, requesting a DNA test is your right.
Okay, but at a certain point, do you still have to pay in Missouri and Illinois, regardless of the statute of limitations?
There is no statute of limitations in Missouri with regards to you going and trying to either prove the non-existence of the paternity or the existence of it,
mm-hmm.
per se. And we treat married and unmarried fathers or parents differently in Missouri in terms of what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really no statute of limitations. What's the triggering event is really potentially misrepresentations by mom, or what she or may not say, or what she may not know.
Carnell, why in Colorado are you trying to make it 5 years old?
Oh, that's not my impetus. That was an adoption of the Uniform Parentage Act. That's what's currently in place, the time limit of 5 years old. My contention is that the limit should be, if there's going to be one, it should be based on when the man discovers the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Or secondarily, there should also be an equal statute that requires the mother to make a full and truthful disclosure, because she's the person that knows there's more than one father candidate.
But let me ask you, and I'll ask you both this question. Let's say that the couple has split and the kid gets to be 7 or 8 years old before the mom has an outburst like the one you've described, and she says, "It's not even your kid," but the check has to keep coming. If the father has been involved in raising that child, even if he's not been in the house all the time, if he's been having visitation on Wednesdays and alternate weekends and summer vacations and all that sort of stuff, so there has been some sharing of custody, what kind of man would want to say, after finding out that this child I've raised for 5, 6, 7, 8 years wasn't theirs, biologically, that it's still not theirs, even though they've been part of their life all those years?
Well, shall I respond?
Yes.
Okay. Well, first, I think you asked the wrong question. It's not type of man, because he didn't cause this problem in the first place. And there is a distinct difference between loving the child who you get to see and paying money to the child's mother who has been dishonest.
Mm.
If the man is allowed to continue a relationship with the child, then I say let that man make his own decision and let him spend that money directly for the benefit of the child.
Scott?
You know, there's things that we don't see as a public. We just have to see it in two ways, where the court views it from the perspective of a distinction of a biological father and a father,
mm-hmm.
a father figure who is not necessarily biological dad. We call bio dad. And the courts are struggling with that. And that's why you see the law here that limits it, say, 5 years, and you continue to pay. The courts are reluctant to bastardize children,
mm-hmm.
Even though that father may or may not be the biological father. I mean, that doesn't mean that you don't have the rights, but the public just does not see the two distinctions here between keeping a father figure in the child's life.
But can I ask, do courts then, once paternity is established to be non-existent, are the courts the ones who then try to go for the real father and the real stream of financial custodianship?
Right. There are some courts and some judges here in St. Louis or in the metro area who will not finally enter an order of non-existence until you bring in a third party who actually is the biological father, making sure that we don't walk away from the table or from the court without having a real father figure who owes a duty of support. And it's also a protection for the taxpayer, so they don't have to get on the hook.
What's the problem, Carnell?
Well, the problem here is that everyone wants to overlook this white elephant that's in the room. The child's mother knows who the paternity candidates are. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt that she knows who is involved.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's nothing that says the children don't have the capacity to love more than one person who's willing to contribute in their life. The dupe dad, in my opinion, he's been victimized just as the child has.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't be pitting one victim against the other and then allow the other two responsible people to walk away from the picture. I mean, we got cases where the men have been duped by the mother and her boyfriend on purpose, but yet the court says duped husband should pay anyway.
Mm.
There's no justice in that.
You call your organization U.S. Citizens Against Paternity Fraud. That word fraud jumps out at me. Is there a crime called paternity fraud?
It should be. Here's where we bring the definition into play. We tie it to legal fraud, which is actually in the Parsons and Law, probably Black's Law Dictionary. We talk about the concealment of a material fact. And that fact is the child's mother is aware of her other intimate relationships, yet no law requires her to make this disclosure to the man she points at and says, that guy caused my pregnancy, while at the same time she knows that it A, is not true, or it might not be true. And the counter to that is, if we're not going to require moms to make that disclosure, then we need to allow these men who've been victimized to make a decision whether or not he wants to continue a relationship based on deception.
And I agree. I think Missouri does not have a law, and we need one. Just like there's a law for criminal non-support in the state of Missouri, there needs to be a law that goes after moms who knowingly make misrepresentations, what we call extrinsic fraud. And Carnell and I are on the same page here. We need to go help dads who are duped, intentionally duped, into inducing them to sign an agreement or defaulting and paying child support. But there needs to be. Illinois, there was a proposal, I believe, in the legislature, and it died in the Senate, where it never passed.
Yes. In fact, it was House Bill 2267. It was introduced by Attorney Jeffrey Leving out there in Illinois. And what it was attempting to do is to bring accountability to the table. We always hear about deadbeat dads on various media formats. And true, if there's a man who is the biological father or the adopted father, or he involved himself in assisted pregnancy with knowledge, and he's not supporting his own child, then that's one case. But for the men who have never had a choice in the matter and have been operating under false information, that man's a victim.
All right, we're going to include your phone calls at 314-436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120, and your emails, paulharris@kmox.com. Scott, have you and your attorneys at Cordell & Cordell gone after moms in civil court over matters like this?
And that's really, I think, the important distinction is the family law does not really provide for a separate cause of action under a Supreme Court rule. And I don't want to get legalistic here, but you really have to go in an independent cause of action for fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our attorneys over in the Kansas office, a managing attorney there, was a part of a case where we went on appeal after mom who knew at the time of a judgment of paternity. And this is key. The extrinsic fraud is a misrepresentation before the entry of a judgment. She knew. Dad was not the biological father. Had him convinced that he was, went ahead and got an order of support. This attorney went ahead. We went in on appeal and undid that on the basis that she knew that it was fraud. And so that's the basis. It's an independent civil action. It gets very complicated when you have a non-married parent that doesn't have the protection of the family law.
Carnell, I have a simple question.
Shoot.
Why don't more men in this situation go for paternity tests?
Very simple. Married men and single men have the same belief those who have had a relationship with the child's mother, there's this inherent desire to want to be a dad. And go ahead and say it, boo for us who want to be a dad. And when the mother says we're the father and she doesn't reveal the other information, we believe her.
So these are mostly guys who don't know that she's been with other men?
How would he know? If he wasn't an eyewitness, how would he know?
Yeah, I think they either they don't know or they just don't want to know.
Mm.
And they really trust that relationship. And it's a child that's coming in their life. And it is misinformation. It's also maybe cost prohibitive. They have to pay for the DNA test. All mom has to do is go to the state and name a father. And now they're on the hook for child support unless they can prove otherwise.
Yeah, I would think, though, there were plenty of men who don't want to become a father at that time in their life. Maybe they're young. Maybe they aren't ready to become a father. Maybe they were just fooling around. And now they find out that their girlfriend is pregnant.
Right.
At that point, don't they have to say, you know what, I do like you a lot, but I'm going to have to get some information from a chemist here to verify things.
And Scott, you just said something that's critical and crucial to me in this whole thing, that all a woman has to do is name a father. And once that name is on paper, he's the one who has to say, no, it's not me. I mean, she can just put a name out there.
Right. And I think that's why it's so critical that we have some accountability. And unfortunately, that may have to come through a criminal statute that obligates her to know. When she makes that representation, she better know. And it better not be false, because there is no consequence for her other than a civil judgment, which is in large part uncollectible.
Carnell, is this basically paternity unless proven innocent?
Well, there is a powerful presumption that man is guilty because mom said so.
Mm.
She is not required to present any proof. And the fact is that we know from doing DNA testing, because I'm now in the business, it's amazing how often I watch a mother try to convince a guy in my waiting room how much this child looks like him and why he doesn't need to test.
Mm.
But because of a family member, usually the man's wife or girlfriend, someone else, another woman in his life, convinces him to get this test done. And in over 80% of my cases, I'm finding out these men are not the dads. And this is because somebody else was suspicious.
All right, let's get to a phone call here. Teresa, you're on KMOX. Hi.
Hi. That's very interesting that you're talking about that, because my whole thought here is the woman couldn't name the man if he hadn't played the game. And,
not true.
You know, I think that's part of the risk that they take when they're just playing around, that they could be a father. That's where I come from. I just don't see the man as being the victim.
Carnell, you jumped in there and you said not true. Expand.
Yeah. The facts are this. The mother is not required by any state that I can find to say this is one of the paternity candidates, because the right question has never been asked. The right question that should be asked, ma'am, were you intimate with anyone else within 30 days before or 30 days after the date of conception? And here's this list, and let's do a test on all of them, and then we get the right guy in the first round.
Also, correct me if I'm wrong here, and Scott, you can take this one, aren't there cases where they're a married couple? They've actually made a commitment to each other. But he didn't know that she was messing around on the side.
And that happens a lot in these cases. As you can imagine, we have an extramarital relationship. And now what we're telling our clients is, look, if you think or know that they had an adulterous affair, you better think about it. And that's the quandary that they face, is they have this child that they've raised for 10 years, 15 years, and they're the father. And think about the damage that it may do potentially to their child going into and understand that dad's not sure that you're my child and I'm going to have you tested. It does damage the relationship, and they're in a quandary. That's when most of these guys just throw their hands up and say, I'll go ahead and pay the child support.
314-436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120. I just want to go back to one thing that I raised earlier, and I may have misstated it in my question earlier, Carnell.
Okay.
Let's say you've got a couple that has been together for years, and they have been raising a kid.
Uh-huh.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old kid.
Uh-huh.
Then they break up. And during the breakup, that's when he finds out that he's not the biological father of that child.
Uh-huh.
Even though it's not his sperm that helped make that child, everything else about him helped make that child grow through those years. Shouldn't he still help in the raising of that child financially after that?
I think that should be entirely up to him. It should be a voluntary choice. For some men, upon discovering this horrific surprise, and then to learn also that your ability to see this child is just as tenuous as the men who think they are the bio dads. There's no guarantee that you're going to get cooperation from this parent to see the child. Why would you pay someone who has been dishonest throughout this time now? Let me see the child, and I decide what I do financially. If I want to support that child's college fund, it should be the choice of the victim in this case.
Scott,
without a law giving that victim some remedy, they really don't have any choice.
Yeah, I think it's a slippery slope to mandate that he's obligated to continue to pay. And again, we separate out the emotional side of being dad. I mean, I think that's the hard part is trying to tell them, look, they've raised this child. This child knows only this person as their father. And then separating that from the obligation of financial support. I think it is a slippery slope to mandate, such as this law, that regardless of the circumstances, after age five, you are obligated financially to pay. And I think it incentivizes moms to have bad faith, make misrepresentations, and hold them secret until after age five.
But you see, it seems to me that if the guy has been part of that child's life, even if it's not his, okay, so that's just like being the father of an adopted child for all of those years. And you wouldn't at that point say, I'm not going to support. I mean, you have been not only financially supporting, but emotionally and in every other way raising that child.
And I think it's a distinction, like, for example, in Georgia, where the child support belongs to the child and not the mom. And that may be a different set of circumstances where we can say, okay, fine, let's go ahead and make sure the child is taken care of. But in many instances, like in Missouri, where the child support goes to mom and mom may not spend it in appropriate ways in support of that child, you're rewarding mom for her bad faith and bad acts.
Right. And let me chime in on that, too. You know, as the founder, I'm also a person who has personally lived through this nightmare, okay? And I have tried, I fought diligently in court to remain connected when I thought I was the dad. And I, like many other men around this nation, could not get the courts to enforce parenting time. Now, a counselor did raise a point about the cost of the DNA testing, but let me say this from firsthand experience. The cost of the DNA test was far less than 3 hours of my attorney's time. It was less than the cost of my appeal to the Court of Appeals. It was less than the cost of the appeal all the way to the United States Supreme Court. I've spent over $100,000. If I didn't fight it, I stood to lose another $250,000. And the woman cut off all contact with the child.
Mm.
The same court would not enforce parenting time with the order that the judge himself signed. Now, why would I fight after I know I'm not the dad?
314-436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120. John, you're on KMOX. Hi.
How you doing? You know, there's another victim in this I think we're overlooking, and, you know, that's the father that maybe wanted to be a father, is not given the right to be a father. And what are we doing to the woman that deprives the man of that opportunity? We're letting these women off the hook. If she has a responsibility to be a responsible mother to spouse to the father of that respective child.
Bravo.
Absolutely. I mean, there is certain legal proceedings you can take. And in Georgia, it can be a crime for visitation interference. In Missouri, you can file motions for contempt. I mean, allowing dad to be dad. I mean, that is the separation between the financial side and this emotional side of being father.
Mm-hmm. And to counselor's statement, I filed the custody interference with the police report and with witnesses, and the court completely ignored it.
Mm.
I would dare say that the many fathers' rights groups that are advocating today for things like shared parenting, and they're asking for enforced parenting time, if the courts did that today, I dare to say there would be very little reason for those groups to exist right now.
All right, John, thanks for calling. Here's Bill on KMOX. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I was wondering if Mr. Stout there would have a fact on Illinois law as far as in the hospitals when a mother gives birth, the father has to sign a paper stating that he's the father of the child. Now, years down the road, it comes out that, and DNA proves that he's not the father. Is he still on the hook for the child support? I've heard over here in Illinois that he is.
Right. He is. You have 60 days from your acknowledgement to contest that in Illinois, or if there's some sort of fraud, we've talked about the word extrinsic fraud, throwing that out there, up to 2 years to file an action to try to prove the non-existence of that relationship. Now, if you're trying to get a DNA test during or before that expiration of the 2 years, that 2 years continues to go so long as you're actively pursuing a DNA test.
But if you don't start it until the kid is 3 years old?
Right. Then I think you're out.
You're out. But so that brings to bear then the best thing for men to do is to not sign any admission or confession of paternity until he has confirmed. It is okay to trust. It is okay to believe. But confirm what you're being told before you get roped into a time limit that, by the way, is not told to a lot of men.
But again, that's a very tough spot. Most men are not thinking about that. If it's their first child and they're really in love with the woman,
yes.
married or not, you know, they're excited, as you said before,
yes.
about becoming a dad.
Yes.
The guy is thinking, hey, it's my kid. And, oh, yes, here's paperwork. Okay, I signed it. You know, if you're in the hospital, you're signing more papers than when you bought a house.
Yeah, right.
And that's just another one that they put in front of you. Okay, oh, this is the one that I say it's my kid, yay! How many fathers are going to say, no, I'm not signing that until I get a DNA test?
Right. And the nice thing in Missouri is that you don't have to worry about it. There are no statute of limitations that the clock's not running in Missouri. It really runs when an action's filed for child support or divorce.
What were you going to say, Carnell?
Yeah, I was going to say that for a lot of them, as they are learning about paternity fraud, I've been doing this now for over 6 years, over 200 radio, national television shows and magazine, just recently in Time magazine. When men learn about the signs, they learn about the things that, you know, when the mom slipped out and said, little junior wasn't yours, and later tries to take it back. When you start getting these rumors around town, sometimes there's truth in that. You need to investigate promptly, but many of them will not have a clue at the hospital where he's going to be, if I can politely say it, he's going to be induced into coming to the hospital to try to get him to hold that baby. And while he's holding that baby, here's the question. You do want your baby to have a father, don't you? And how much information is he being given about an 18 to 21-year commitment? And, oh, by the way, this is really your brother's child.
Hmm. Bill, I'm glad you called. I got to take a break. We're back in a moment. It's the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. Talking about duped dads this afternoon. Carnell Smith is the founder of U.S. Citizens Against Paternity Fraud, also a victim as well as an advocate. And Scott Trout is here as well, managing partner of Cordell and Cordell. We were joking during the commercial break that if it weren't for men and their hormones going out of control, this man would not be wearing such a nice suit and have such a career as he sits here in the studio with us this afternoon. But there is really an important question here, which is if a guy finds out from the woman that he is not the father of that child or those children, because in many cases it's multiple, should he still be on the hook financially, even if he doesn't find out till years and years later? There are some states like Colorado that have a statute of limitations on it, 5 years. If you don't find out, if you don't figure it out in the first 5 years, if you find out when the kid is six or seven, well, you're on the hook until that kid graduates from college. Other states do have, what do you call it, the first 60 days in Illinois?
60 days, correct. On the
kind of a window there of acknowledgement. And Missouri has no laws on the book, no statute of limitations at all. So you could find out when the kid's 13.
Correct.
Let me chime in on that.
Yeah.
What counsel's talking about is the federal requirement for a rescission period on acknowledgement of paternity.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's 60 days, and that only applies to the non-marital cases. So single men who go in and sign an admission of paternity at the hospital, or they may sign one at an administrative hearing, but still the fact remains there's no proof required. But if he believes the verbal representations that he's the dad, and he may even think because the child looks like him, then that's his assurance that he's the dad. Unfortunately, when I ask men these questions, as I do speaking tours around the nation, I ask men this question. If the mother has relationships with three guys that look like you, who's the father?
Mm.
And I now have married men, including pastors, that outnumber us single guys 2-1. And they have actually far more to lose than we do, but no one could ever put a price on the emotional harm to the victims. Because in many cases, the biological father doesn't know he has a kid. The duped dad is hurt. The child is hurt. But these children now are contacting my organization saying, my mom won't tell me who's my dad. What can I do?
Mm. All right, let me go back to the phones here. We've got a woman who doesn't want me to say her name, so we'll just call her Ann. Anonymous. Go ahead, Ann.
Well, basically, I just wanted to know, let him know, Cornell, I was in a situation like that. And I let the guy know up front that, you know, you may not be the father. And he got violent, wanted to harm me and the child. And then even after all of that, you know, we went and got the test done. It came out to be his. And now 11, 12 years later, he's coming back in the picture saying he wants custody. I mean, so in my case, I would advise a person to tell somebody if they think they're going to be in harm. And they may not even know because I didn't know. I'm thinking I'm doing the right thing. And all ATLL break out.
Scott, what can a woman do in that situation?
Well, of course. I mean, you certainly don't want to put yourself in harm's way. But the point is if you don't think you were filed a paternity, you can file an action. Mom can, and the child can file an action against dad, or which, who she believes to be the father, or a number of gentlemen to make sure that she does determine the existence of the relationship. Simple.
Right.
Avoid that confrontation and take action.
And that is a potential confrontation. Anytime, I would imagine,
absolutely,
that anytime a woman is about to tell a man, you may not be the father, if you've never seen anger before, one would imagine, for everybody listening, that, and we want you to be truthful. This is about truthfulness. But one would imagine you're going to see some anger for the first time.
Sure. And some of the men may also go the opposite extreme on emotion. I got men like Dylan who are emotionally broke down, needed counseling.
All right, let me get another phone call in here. Karen, you're on KMOX. Hi.
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 Yeah, I just wanted to tell you what happened to my son several years ago. He signed the birth certificate of a baby that was born because he believed it was his.
Mm-hmm.
Some years later, he came to the conclusion this child was not his. He finally got enough money together to go to court to hire a lawyer and to do a DNA test and all that, because he had to pay for all of it. And he found out, of course, that he could not possibly be the child's father, 0%. The judge said, well, you've been paying child support all these years. You're going to continue to pay it, even though she's not yours.
Had he been involved in raising the child?
At first, when she was a baby. But as time went on, the mother decided she didn't want him to be a part of her life, and
this sounds like a classic case of what you've been describing here today, Carnell.
I was going to say that proves my point nationwide. No enforcement of parenting time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but we can keep a radar locked on his wallet.
Karen, I'm glad you called. You want to get the last word in here, Scott?
Sure. I mean, I think maybe she referring to, there used to be a statute of limitations in Missouri until 1993, which was 5 years. You had 5 years in which to go ahead and take that action, and you would be required to. That was overturned in 1993.
So would both of you like to see a statute of limitations put in at some point, or do you want the guys to be able to say at any point, look, this is not my kid, I'm not involved in this kid's life, this woman lied to me, this is a case of fraud, I don't want to pay another penny?
I don't think there should be a statute of limitations. I think there should be a criminal portion that accounts for responsibility on mom's part.
I'm in complete agreement with counsel there that there shouldn't be a limitation, because moms can file a paternity order all the way up to the child reaches age of majority, and then we're going to say then men don't have the right to confirm what she said?
All right.
Let's level the playing field.
Carnell's website is paternityfraud.com, and you'll find Scott and the guys at Cordell and Cordell at dadsdivorce.com. Thank you both for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Carnell Smith and Scott Trout here on the Paul Harris Show on KMOX.